Okay, so hi everyone. Good evening for those of you who are in Israel and those of
Okay.
my name is Paul Mathieu. Together with me is also MK Tamar Zandberg here, and also Dario Teitelbaum, the Secretary General of the World Union of Meretz, will be also translating on a chat to Spanish to those of you who speak only Spanish. I'm happy that we're doing this webinar, a joint venture of the World Union of Meretz and PPI. And thank you for Tamar for attending. The way it will work is after Tamar will open and give us a briefing on the current political situation in Israel. We're also going to open it to some questions. And you can go to Q&A and write your question because you all are on mute. And then I will read out loud the question for Tamar so she can answer those questions. For those of you who don't know me, I am currently representing Meretz in the World Zionist Organization. I'm the head of the Zionist Enterprises Department. And basically, you all probably know Hatikva list, which we all supported, those of you in the States or other places in the world. We just currently have elections for those national institutions. So joining, representing Meretz, that's my position. I used to be the Secretary General of Meretz Party here in Israel. So we now already have 80 participants, which is great. From I see all over the world, not just from the States, which is great. I see countries in Europe, Latin America. Welcome, everyone. So Tamar Zandberg, I think we don't need to introduce you, but for those of you, so Tamar is a Knesset member since 2013, and she used to be the chair of Meretz Party, and probably going to be now the head of the faction here in the parliament. After there's now only Meretz left out of the joint venture with Labor, and also a good friend of mine. So Tamar, thank you for joining, participating, and please just you should just open and give us a short briefing on the situation.
Okay, good evening here in Israel. I guess we should also say good morning, good afternoon to the people joining from all over the world. I see it's very exciting. I think all over the world we just discovered the options of digital convening. And it is still exciting to see the people from all over the world gathering here in this conversation. So thank you. Thank you, Dror and Dario and the friends from PPI for organizing this. I would specifically like to mention Dror. He mentioned his position in the World Zionist Union, and I would like you all to know that right now in these days, Dror is initiated by, actually a project to help with education frameworks to children of medical crew, the doctors and the nurses, the one in the front of this coronavirus war. And Dror, like he always does, always thought, what can we do to volunteer and to help the situation? And this is what they came up with. So now children, kids of the medical people all over the hospitals in Israel can enjoy this venture. So Dror, kol hakavod, and thank you for that. I will like to start in about 10-minute briefing about right now politics and the war against coronavirus are not really separated from each other. So I would like to open with a 10 to 15 minutes briefing and then open leave the rest of our conversation to your questions and comments like we always do. And I can comment on your questions after that. I actually come back from the Knesset right now, in a very sad and disappointing event, the separation of the labor and Meretz factions back to big to being two independent factions in the Knesset after running together in a joint Avoda Meretz or Labor Meretz list in the last elections only a little over a month ago in the beginning of March 20. We went to this unification. I think many of you in previous conversations that we had, many of you asked me, what is the future of the left in Israel, of Meretz, of labor? Are you going to joint ventures? Are you going to run together? And we actually thought that we could give a new hope to the left in Israel by the joint list. Well, it's not the joint list because there's a party called the joint list, but a list that was ran together of labor and Meretz led by Amir Peretz. And today we had to separate the two factions back to what we used to be, not because we wanted to, but because unfortunately labor is now talking to Benny Gantz and the Prime Minister Netanyahu about what they call a unity or a emergency government. I could understand such a step if that was really an emergency government to face the challenges of coronavirus like is being done right now all over the world, if that would have been a government that would represent all the citizens, you know, left and right, Jews and Arabs, 120 Knesset members that would support such an emergency and temporary government, I could maybe understand. But we are now in a very, very unique and dangerous situation, not just because coronavirus, because coronavirus caught us in parallel times of elections in Israel, as you know, third elections in 1 year. And we had to face, in the same time, with the challenges of fighting coronavirus, and in a very bizarre and dangerous political situation in which we have a prime minister that is being indicted in three very severe corruption cases, and his trial is about to start. Actually, the trial was about to start 2 weeks ago in the 17th of March, and it was delayed to May because of coronavirus and because of the inability to convene in the courts, in the halls of the court. And this prime minister is actually trying to form a government after failing in the polls in the third time in 1 year. This is for itself an unprecedented situation that a democracy cannot form a government and has to go to the polls three times or go to the ballot three times in 1 year. And there was a majority in the Knesset against Prime Minister Netanyahu, and he was unable to form a government for the third time in 1 year. And we actually recommended Benny Gantz to form a government together with his whole blue and white faction, with the joint list representing the Palestinian Arab minority in Israel, with Labor Meretz and the Lieberman faction, Israel Beitenu. Together we were 61 seats out of the 120 in the Knesset. That means a majority. True, we had challenges. It wasn't very easy, especially because there was a question mark upon the participation of the joint list representing the 20% Arab minority of Israeli citizens. Many people in the right and the extreme right tried to delegitimize the participation or even support, just support, if, even if they did not participate in the government, just support it from the outside. The extreme right tried to delegitimize their participation and actually delegitimize the entire government that was supposed to be led by Benny Gantz. We started working in the Knesset that was just elected, trying to fight steps of, for example, trying to legislate regulations that would severely hurt the privacy and human rights, again, under the umbrella of coronavirus without any parliamentary supervision. For example, they now use the special measures to follow, to, I don't know the word in English, but to help the use cellular data to monitor the location of citizens to help determine whether they should be in quarantine or if they are the coronavirus. These things in a democracy, as you know, need a functioning democracy, a functioning parliament, a functioning separation between the government and the parliament. We don't want to find ourselves in situations like Hungary right now, where the parliament decided to paralyze itself and to severely hurt freedom of press, freedom and human rights under the excuse of coronavirus. And actually, in the middle of the attempt to form a different government and to try and use the majority in the Knesset against Netanyahu and the right, Benny Gantz, the candidate of our camp to be the prime minister, decided that he breaks the blue and white faction into two different parts. His party, led by him, is actually right now, in these very minutes or hours, is entering the Netanyahu government and actually giving the mandate to Netanyahu to be the prime minister for at least a year and a half from now, at least 18 months. And the other half, led by Yair Lapid with the Yesh Atid faction, is staying outside of the government in the opposition. And unfortunately, Amir Peretz and the Labour Party decided to go with Benny Gantz into the Netanyahu government against the specific and very clear promise that we gave our voters that we will not do such a thing. And of course, against the political reason and our ideology and our principles that clearly deny such a step. So that's the reason we had to divide or break the unification that we formed just a few months back before the last elections. And us, the Meretz faction, will proudly fight this government in the from the opposition. And just the last sentence, just to stress how bad this government is going to be, is that about 2 or 3 hours ago, the details of the forming agreement between Likud and the blue and white were published to the public, and they revealed the attempt to annex the settlements in the West Bank. And you know that annexation is one of the worst dangers that we in the democratic and liberal camp in Israel fight for the last few years. We think that is a true danger, not only to the two-state solution, and of course it is devastating for the two-state solution, but also to the future of Israel as Jewish and democratic state, like we dreamed and we want to see Israel continuing in that path, because we predict another round of violence that will, or intifada that will emerge as a consequence of that of annexation. It is a clear danger to the peace treaty with Jordan that proved itself in the last 20 years. It is truly devastating to the two-state solution that for us is the only future for a viable Israel and Palestine, neighboring alongside with each other, both living in peace and security. And right now, today, Netanyahu and Gantz agreed that Netanyahu could go ahead with annexation with the consent of the American administration in this coming summer, starting from July 2020. And we see that as a clear and immediate danger to everything we believe in and practically to the future of Israel. So our conclusion is that it is not an emergency government to fight coronavirus, but it is an emergency government to save the prime minister from his indictment and to bring to life the worst dreams of the extreme right against the interests of all Israelis and of Israel. So I think I will stop here for the introduction, for the opening, and open it up for conversation and your questions.
Thank you. Thank you, Tamar, very much. First of all, I see your daughter is there. So yes. I'd like to take this so to congratulate all of us. Now, please feel free to add questions. Look for the Q&A button on your panel and write down your question. We already have a couple questions, but we can get some more. The second thing is we're about to exceed 100 participants, which is the limit which is possible for us to have a webinar. So if some of you would like, it's also possible. We are live on Facebook on the PPI page, so you can also exit this conversation and go live on Facebook, so we'll have some more room for other people who will hopefully will join us soon. So we'll move on to some questions, I think, because I see some good questions here. One big question, Tamar, is from William Cohen here, is what is Meretz's strategy for rebuilding the Israeli left movement now that Labor plans to join Gantz in the annexation government? How will Meretz grow?
Yes, I think that is the number one challenge. If I think I stressed our disappointment from the Labor and from the unification and from their decision to join the annexation government. But there is also good news in that step. And the good news is that Meretz, maybe like we always knew, is actually left as the only left. I know we have used that phrase many times, but this time I think it would be more clear to a larger public that this is the case, and that it is within Meretz, it is on Meretz's shoulders to represent the left that fights annexation, that supports peace, that would like to see Israel as the Jewish and democratic state, like we know that, and that has no contradictory to equality, to Jewish-Arab partnership, to human rights, civil rights, social justice, and of course the pursuit for peace and the two-state solution. And you know, today in the committee in the Knesset, I represented Meretz when we applied for the separation of the two factions. And I met Amir Peretz there, and he said to me and to the committee that they went the unification with Meretz in order to save Meretz, because otherwise Meretz would not cross the threshold. Now, it's true that Meretz is a small party in the last maybe 10 years. But I think this time show that sometimes there is no replacement for an ideological and very clear party, even if it is small sometimes. And I said to him, you know, Amir, member of Knesset Peretz, if we went to these elections separately, and Meretz would promise, like we did together, not to enter the Netanyahu government, and Labor would reveal to the Israeli public your plans, what you are doing now. That means becoming a junior, not even a senior minister in the Netanyahu annexation government, I think Meretz would have grown and it would have been Labor not to cross the threshold, if you had been honest with your voters. So I'm sad and I'm disappointed today, but I'm also proud and optimistic that Meretz is truly left the only party that is both that has, you know, the faith of its voters, that we actually do what we promise, and also loyalty to our ideology, and we will never sell it for any kind of a job in the government or for anything else. So I think this is the two basic the two basic things that we will come to the public again and again and again, and say to them that we are the only ones that can be trusted and trustworthy. And I'm sure that in the face of such a large government that will find itself supporting an annexation, we can grow on that platform with all our principles, including something that was revealed in the last year, how important it is in Israeli politics, and that is the Jewish-Arab political partnership, because I think a huge crowd in Israel and a huge public discovered what we know, that it is impossible to present a viable democracy with a democratic bloc and a progressive government if you relate only to the Jewish part of Israeli citizens, neglecting or ignoring the 20% of the Arab participants or citizens.
Okay, thank you. I have two questions. The first, do you think this will pass inside the party to join? Merav Michaeli is leading a struggle not to join. Will she succeed? And also someone else, what are the offices that Amir Peretz is asking, or what he was promised? And also relates, please, to another question. Okay, we'll do three in a row. Is there a chance that Gantz will impose total freeze of settlements activity for the new government?
Okay, so to the first question, we actually urge and we call upon Merav Michaeli many times in the last few days to join Meretz. I don't think her strategy to stay in Labor but try and stay outside of the government will work, because, you know, you cannot hold this stick from its sides, like we say in Hebrew. You cannot be within and from the outside in the same time. And if the leader of the Labor Party and the democratic institutions of the Labor Party will decide to enter the government, I think Merav Michaeli should be with us in Meretz, fighting this government from the opposition. We said that to her many times in the last few days. Her decision right now is to stick with Labor. I think it's a huge mistake. I think it's sinking boats, and she should escape actually now, sooner than later, actually yesterday. Unfortunately, she does not agree. I must say that I cannot understand why. Maybe it's just the habit, you know where you, the place where she's been serving for 2 years. I don't know why. I think she should have realized the size of the hour and leave labor and join Meretz. But of course, I cannot force her to do so. And right now, her choice is not to. Amir Peretz and Itzik Shmuli are going to be two social economic ministers. Amir Peretz probably, what they're talking right now, is the Minister of Economics, and Itzik Shmuli, the Minister of Welfare. They kind of convince themselves that they will be able to influence a little bit maybe on the social economic issues that both of them are very familiar with and affiliated with. That for us in Meretz, the social economic policy that is very important for us is never detached, is never disconnected from the whole story of Israeli politics and where we are going. Meaning, of course, the peace process and also civil rights and the entire platform of our values. So this is why we think their decision is wrong, and eventually they will not be able to fulfill their desires in a government that is totally opposite of what they believe in all areas. To the third question. Unfortunately, I'm not familiar with the case that the Blue and White even asked for settlement freeze. It's true that in last cases in history, for example, Bougie Herzog or other negotiations that we thought were wrong even back then, but that issues were on the table. Today, The only article that was published is the timing of annexation, not even the question if annexation will be prevented or will go forward, but the timing. Will it be delayed in 6 months and maybe wait for the US elections or close or near the elections, or it will be very, very soon with the even without consent of Benny Gantz. I mean, he even gave up the veto that he demanded in the beginning. And now Netanyahu, if the US administration will give a green light, will agree, Netanyahu will be able to bring annexation as early as the coming July. From what is being revealed until now, Gantz gave up his ability to stop that.
Okay, so I want to move to a different topic. I see a couple of questions here. One of them from David Avraham relates to the future of the left and the cooperation with the Arabs, and what about the left Zionist parts once you cooperate with the joint list. And the question goes like this: the threshold question of the explicit cooperation with the joint list is one that apparently Gantz could not cross. At the same time, the space for left Zionism continues to shrink. Is Meretz ready to join explicitly with the joint list and abandon the so-called centrist search? Another question relates to that, and just from Zion, from France. Does a closer partnership with the Arab list endanger our Zionist bases? Mm-hmm. So maybe if you can relate to all this Zionism and cooperation with the Arab list, and talking also about the future of this Jewish-Arab cooperation.
Yes, I think this is a very good point, and I would like to say very, very clearly, I'm a strong supporter in the Jewish-Arab political cooperation. I think that actually it is the future not only of the left but of the state of Israel. We have, you know, Israel was created or founded by the Zionist movement a little over 70 years ago as the homeland for the Jewish people. In the same time, it was a democracy that ensures equality to all its citizens. Okay, without discrimination of any kind. This is the Declaration of Independence, very, very movingly stated. I not only believe, but I know that there is no contradiction between ensuring the rights of all our citizens and our Zionism. On the contrary, our Zionism and our Zionist role in a way makes us it is vital and crucial that we ensure the ideas of Herzl, of Ben-Gurion, the first prime minister of Israel, that their vision was a vibrant democracy that ensures equality to all its citizens. Otherwise, we will betray the principles of Zionism. If we abandon these principles of justice and equality, we will do wrong to the fathers, to the founding fathers of Zionism. And actually, the threat to the idea of the homeland for the Jewish people and to the vision of the Zionist movement is the extreme right that with their ideas of annexation that would first of all ensure that the state of Israel would not have a Jewish majority and that we will not be a democracy because the idea of having the West Bank with the Israeli settlement and the 3 million Palestinians deprived of civil and social and basic rights, this is against the Zionist vision of the state of Israel. And I think that joining politically and cooperating with the elected representatives of the Arab minority that support, like us, first of all, civil equality within Israel, and second, the two-state solution that will ensure that we will have a Palestinian state next to Israel that will be independent and free and secure exactly like us, is the manifestation of the Zionist dream. And the fact that they're not Jewish, and of course not Zionist, because Zionism is the national movement of the Jewish people, does not mean that we cannot share the same goals about the vision of how we would like to see the state of Israel. We will not allow and we will not support changing the nature of Israel as the homeland for the Jewish people, as I said, the vision of Zionism. On the contrary, if we want to keep Israel as such, we have to even I would say save our beloved country from the hands of the extreme right that are trying to take us to the exact opposite direction and put the Zionist vision in danger.
Tamar, is there David Cohen asks the following question: what are the chances that Meretz will join the joint list party? Is there such an attempt? What are the key obstacles, or maybe what do you see? And I would ask, what are the options for Meretz, political options for Meretz these days?
Yes, the option of joining the joint list has been mentioned and has been discussed several times in different frameworks, I would say. I think without referring to my opinion for a minute, I think this is not a very viable option right now, because the joint list I mean, at the moment, maybe in the future it will change, but right now the joint list is a very united list representing the Arab minority as it is. I believe that we have to open a more long-term discussion and maybe start not with a parliamentary party, but with some civil cooperation. At the same time, having some kind of a parliamentary cooperation that will derive from the fact that we share the opposition right now, and see in the future how it goes. Again, not because of merit, but because of more because of the nature of the joint list right now and the way it has built itself as a very, very clear representative of the Arab minority. I think there are many, many issues on which we support in solidarity and we support equality, and we are merits are very important as the main Jewish or Jewish Arab political factor that supports equality and that is in solidarity with the joint list and opposes the racism of the extreme right and their attempts to delegitimize the Arab citizens and the left. I think that Meretz right now, after the events of the last days and since the election and the forming government, Meretz, the best strategy for Meretz right now is to run independently, is to or at least, you know, say run independently or anything about the next election. The next elections, I think, would be too soon. We don't even know if the next elections would be this year, as some people predict, or it would take about 3 to 4 years before they come. Oops. Hold on. Sorry for that. I have a 7 weeks here, and she has a long.
This is fine. Maybe I'll there is a in the meanwhile. Charlie asked, do you know about the results of the WZO elections? So maybe I will answer that questions regarding the World Zionist Organization's election in the meanwhile. The elections mainly took place until now in the United States. We are in the process of other elections in other parts of the world, although they are quite suspended at the moment because of all the corona issue. But in the United States, there were very interesting results. First of all, thank you everyone who's supported the Tikva list, which was mainly a Meretz Labor list that would help Meretz and Labor here in Israel in the World Zionist Organization. Although now, after Labor joined the government, I must say that I don't know how they would be able to represent the value of Hatikva back here in Israel, but this is something that we would discuss. But I must say that Hatikva, which is the progressive left, has grown in that election. We've grown from 8 mandates to 10 mandates in the U.S. part of the World Zionist Organization's Congress elections, and also gained much more number of votes from 3,000 to 8,000. And this was a very important thing for us. A lot of organizations came together for a coalitions, J Street, JNF, the New Israel Fund, and others, and together with Amenu and PPI and a lot of other good organizations, we achieved a very good results. Now, in terms of the progressive left in general in the United States, I'm not that happy with the results. Because some of the progressive factions, like the reforms and the conservatives, which we are usually cooperating very well in the national institutions, and the representatives are quite liberal usually, they lost some seats, and the right-wing Orthodox, and even for the first time ultra-Orthodox party gained huge number of votes. They got 20,000 people to vote for them out of the 120,000, and ultra-Orthodox, non-Zionist even list. And I'm not sure how they're going to work in the Congress there. So the U.S., the liberal camp has lost some of its power, and the right wing has gained. Unfortunately, I think that among our supporters, people are not aware as much as they should to the importance of that elections. And hopefully, although we had a very good results and succeed, I know that Hadar Zuskin is also here. He ran the joint campaign, and thank you for that. I think that next time we'll do more, we'll better. So I'm crossing my finger for next time. This is a process, but I think we're on the right track. Now getting back to Tamar, okay. So there are a couple of questions, Tamar, on the annexation that I would like to ask. Wait. Okay, let's do a question about Lieberman. People are saying here that Charlie is also saying that Lieberman used to be or still the kingmaker. What about him?
Yes, well, Lieberman was about to be the kingmaker in a different coalition, and we were ready to swallow, if I may say, his very dangerous views on many things, in a way opposite to Meretz, under a narrow Gantz government with us and Labor, and supported by the joint list. Right now, we are in a way without our choice. Share with Lieberman, with Yesh Atid, and with the joint list, the opposition, that would be a very, not very coherent, not very unified opposition. I think we'll have to see what are the things that the opposition can unite around, and what are the things that that even the opposition would not agree upon. I guess that annexation will be one of them. But I hope that the power of Yesh Atid, Meretz, and the joint list to oppose annexation will be strong enough, if not to gain a majority in the Knesset, at least to oppose publicly, and also with the international opposition that I think will have a role here. And I think that you in the Jewish communities around the world have a very important step here, stressing what we know from our views and activity, that supporting Israel does not necessarily mean supporting every policy of the government, and explaining that opposing annexation is actually at the interest of Israel.
Yeah, so in terms of annexation, there are a couple more questions, so I want to maybe drill into some more on that. So Daniel Minden asking, are there any forces which in your view could prevent annexation from happening in July or even until January 21, when the U.S. might have a new president? And also, does the coronavirus help or hurt the cause of the annexation? Mark Gold is asking, will annexation endanger existing peace agreement with Egypt and Jordan? And Larry Marks asks, at least in the U.S., it is not expected that the effect of the pandemic would last through summer. Is it likely that Netanyahu would initiate an extension while the stay-at-home orders are still in place? Would he risk riots that would result in more death and virus so on? So, which means, basically, we have a problem here demonstrating against that.
Yes, definitely the two immediate dangers of annexation would be a burst of violence in the West Bank and putting in danger the peace treaty with Jordan. Jordan already declared that. I think Jordan is the immediate victim. Egypt is, Jordan, because of geographical reasons and also because Jordan is one of the parties that is involved in the in some issues regarding the agreement with the Palestinians, the peace treaty with Jordan would be the immediate danger of cancellation or suspension or something of that kind. I think that the question of the US administration and what will happen in the elections in the end of the year is a major point. That's a major reason why Netanyahu wanted to go forward with that so quickly, because he felt that if Trump does not go back for four more years, then it will be, of course, there will not be an American consent. I heard a statement from Biden yesterday or the day before that I thought was very important. And I think that the Democratic Party and maybe some Republican representatives has a very important role right now, because the question of the bipartisan support of Israel and the bipartisan cooperation and the bipartisan support of the two-state solution actually is now on stake. And the more, the louder we can stress in America and here and actually the entire world, how dangerous, how not in consensus this step of annexation is, and the sooner we make that, the better. And actually making the point that this is an idea of the extreme right in Israel and the extreme right in America, rather than a consensual step from that is widely supported in the two countries, it is very important. And I think that, again, the Jewish community is here as the front of supporting Israel in America is also very important. I'm not sure. What can be done to prevent it from happening in July is a strong public opinion against it in America, because it needs, like, this is what they agreed, and I don't think Netanyahu would do that against American consent. And of course, I think it will raise a lot of negative public opinion here. And of course, we cannot rally now. But actually, there was one digital demonstration regarding the steps against democracy here in Israel a few weeks after the election. And that was a huge success. And it was also covered all over the world. And so that we can do. And back then, they had 500,000 participants in the first digital demonstration in Israel. So we can do that as well.
I have a question here from Beckerman, who's asking, is there any chance of reapproachment between Meretz and Lapid? Is this a viable direction? And also another question on a different party, again on joint list. Howard is asking, is the joint list prepared to accept Israel as Jewish and democratic state? So maybe you can relate to those two parties.
Yeah. So first of all, the question about Lapid, I must say that after the last year, when as Meretz, we tried two different unifications, one with Barak and Sav Shafir, you remember, and the second with the Labor Party, and both of them were unsuccessful in different ways, but very clearly unsuccessful. I actually think that our conclusion is that actually Meretz has no replacement for what it is, and I would not like to see it, and I'm saying that as someone who supported the two unifications in the last year, so That wasn't my opinion in the September 19 elections and in the March 20 elections. But now, after our experience, I think that Meretz should go back to itself and to its core values independently. I think that is the best way we can present ourselves both ideologically and politically. As for the joint list, I guess that the definition of Zionism and the exact character of the state of the Jewish nature is something that will not be agreed between Meretz and some parts or maybe all of the joint list. Many of our shared values, like for example, supporting the two-state solution, supporting equality, civil rights, human rights, and social justice. If we go across the joint list that, as you know, is for itself made out of four different factions, one is Islamic that we do not share many of our women rights, human rights, gay rights, and religious separation of state and religion, we don't share with them. One of them, the Ta'al, for example, is very liberal, and we don't share our social democratic views with them. I guess with all of them, no, with Balad, actually, we do not share our support of the two-state solution because they support one state for all, but with the other three, we share our support of the two-state solution. So as you see, and I guess coming from American politics, you know that sitting with partners in one party that does not necessarily mean you agree with everything. I think the variety of opinions on all issues in the Democratic and in the Republican Party can go show that idea. Nevertheless, I don't think changing the Jewish character of the State of Israel is in any way in debate or in dispute. I mean, it is being supported by a huge majority of the Jews in Israel, the law of return, the symbols, the flag, the anthem. I think all those things are not in danger. On the other hand, the future of the two-state solution and the future of Israel as a vibrant democracy with the reality of occupation, these are the ones that put us in danger. And I think they are much more urgent to solve with our partners than others.
Okay, we move to a different topic. I know we deal a lot with women's rights and feminism. So we have a question here from Ina. She's asking, would you consider to call upon all women of Israel to stand up against the Trump deal and call to implementation of the UN Security Council Resolution 1325, which means women have to be involved in all stages of conflict resolution, which means, you know, talking about women being 51% of the population.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm a very strong feminist myself, and Meretz is in the front of these issues. I think Resolution 1325 is one of the most important, especially here, because we are a conflict area, and because participation of women in negotiations and in taking into consideration the needs of all citizens when it comes to conflict areas is very, very needed here. We actually had some progress in Israel and even in the right-wing government, I must say, in adopting Resolution 1325. And there is still a lot more to do in that respect. And I must say that unfortunately, the elected Knesset would be less feminine and less feminist than the previous one. And I think that in regard to the Trump deal or plan, I think the most feminist thing to do would be to oppose the plan because it does not answer the needs of Israelis and Palestinians, men and women. And I think that if you put more women in the around the table where decisions are being made, it would be about how to make a vibrant and viable peace rather than how to manage the wars better. And I think you can take an example and inspiration from an organization I know many of you are familiar with, and that is the Women Wage Peace in Israel, that show that.
Okay, now I have one last question or two questions, and then we're going to also end, so you can answer those two questions, and also a few remarks, last remarks for our friends outside of Israel and what our message is for them. And Eric is asking, Tamar, so given you answer about the Israeli left, what do you look for from friends of the left outside of Israel? And David Stone is asking, we in the U.S. are often told that we have no right to assert any position about Israeli government policy, including, for example, annexation, because we are not citizens of Israel. Do you agree? And if not, and I hope you're not, why not? So maybe you can relate to that and also give some ending remarks.
Yes, I think that the two questions are combined, and also with my final remarks about our cooperation and what we can do together. I think this is very important times for cooperation between us, the progressive and liberal camp here in Israel, and our supporters all over the world, because of what is on the table, because of annexation, because of the Trump plan, because the destiny or the future of Israel would be much affected from what will happen in the US and in other places, in the EU and other places around the world. And I think here in Israel, we face similar challenges to what we see in the US, in South America, in Asia, and in Europe. The populist nationalist governments all over the world have the same methods, the same principles, the same ideas, and the same actions. And they are all friends with each other, by the way, from Duterte to Bolsonaro to Orban, Trump, and Netanyahu. Many of them have similar lines of action and similar lines of expression. And they are all not in the interest of their own citizens. And I think stressing that and saying that is a very clear role and something that we have to do together, because the progressive camp and the liberal camp all over the world also has joined together against their dangerous policies. And I think the Jewish communities around the world, and it is not dependent on voting. Of course, you are welcome here because of the law of return, but it is not a condition to share the destiny of the state of Israel. That is the idea of Zionism and the idea of Israel being the homeland for the Jewish people. It means that you have a homeland here, even if you're not a citizen, and the faith of the Jewish people all around the world is connected. This is the what the World Zionist Congress and the World Zionist Organization is reminding us all the time. And I think that the Jewish communities around the world have a role in knowing and stressing and saying openly and clearly what is in the best interest of Israel, and that is not supporting annexation, even if the Israeli government will say so, and that is not supporting freezing of the two-state solution, even if the Israeli government will say so. And what you need to know is that you have partners here in Israel, and that is us, and that is the progressive camp, the liberal camp, that is not very small, like sometimes people say we are. There is many Israelis supporting what we hear in this conversation know is in the interest of Israel. We actually sometimes have also a majority, like we did right after the elections. But as I said, it was damaged by some members of our camp that decided to join the government. Still, it does not make anything the government does correct or justified. And I think this is a message that we must put together in our joint frameworks. Dror talked about the Hatikva list. Here we still have Meretz in these positions, and in any country where you live, I think the opinions of the Jewish communities vary from being a very vast majority, like in the US, to being maybe a minority in other countries. But it does not matter. You don't change your ideology on the basis of whether you are a majority or a minority. That can change, but the mere justice of what we think and do and say will never change. And I think in that, I would like to congratulate all of you in happy Passover, Pesach Sameach. It will be a unique Pesach that we will have to celebrate in much smaller groups and families than we used to. But also, you know, there is a very famous Hebrew song by Meir Ariel saying, "Avarnu et Paro, na'avor gam et zeh." It means if we live through the bad situation in Egypt when our forefathers went there, then we can handle with any kind of obstacle or challenge that the Jewish people will face. And we have a small baby here that also agrees to that. So
okay, so
world, and thank you.
Tamar, thank you. So we have a couple more questions, but we are running out of time. Unfortunately, we'll keep it for next time. We'll all keep on fighting here in Israel and abroad. Thank you all very much for participating. Tamar, thank you very much. Danish, Karen, everyone who organized it, Dario, thank you all very much. And see you next time. Thank you all, and goodbye.